All right, everyone. Welcome back to this week's episode of On the Gravel with your host, Raven and Oliver. It's been a decent week in the F1 world. We got the rest of the car reveals, but otherwise, not too much. We got a little bit of rally car news with the conclusion of Sweden taking place this week. So yeah, we'll just get right into the car reveals. We had five more over this week, starting with the Aston Martin. What do you think, Oliver?
And my goodness, was that a livery to write home about? No, but in all honesty, that thing looks beautiful. I think they really refined that green color. It looks like they're going for a matte finish this year compared to the more metallic glossy one that they... Yeah, glossy metallic one they had last year. And the green is a bit darker than it was last year. I mean, it's not the Aston Martin we had in 2021 with those beautiful, like, pink pinstripes, but I still think it is the best Aston Martin we've had so far.
I agree. It looks stunning. I think the way they kind of merged the carbon fiber in like negative spaces, kind of how we were talking about last week, mixing that in with the paint really works well. And I think the car looks a lot better than it did last year, just as like a design standpoint.
I agree. I've always also liked matte finishes better on these liveries than those glossy ones, unless you're using chrome. Chrome looks so good.
I agree. Matte finishes on cars just look so clean.
But I think the most important thing for Aston Martin was their ability to use carbon fiber in negative spaces so that they didn't take away from the beauty of the livery, because you can have the best of both worlds, and that is a perfect example of what it is.
Staying with Aston Martin for a second, I don't know if you saw the thing about Fernando Alonso's test results that came back this week.
I did not see those.
But they are apparently good enough to where that he could be racing till he was 49 or 50. As like, that is a possibility that is within his like body's threshold.
He had like a physical?
Yeah. And they were like, yeah, based on these results, like, you're not going to age that much in the next 5 years, 5-10 years, where it's going to be like a huge detriment to your racing ability. So
this man's prime is going to last 30 years. He was in his prime the second he started. He'll finish in his prime.
He's going to be the Tom Brady of racing, I feel like. So that'll be exciting.
Fernando Alonso, GOAT, question mark?
For fans like me. But yeah, well, moving on to the Ferrari, I'll let you kind of take hold of this.
Yep, easily the best one. Don't even get me started. The Ferrari looks so good. Those white and yellow lines going across the livery, I think, all like bring it together very well. It's nice to see more yellow on the car, aside from just the Ferrari emblem, because I know yellow is a very big
historical color.
Yeah, thank you. Historical piece of Ferrari. And just seeing that brought into the livery a little bit more. I know they've done special liveries for that in the past. They always like to pull some yellow in for their special Monza liveries every single year. But to have it on the main livery this year, it looks so good. They did the same thing as Aston Martin with using carbon in the negative spaces, which was super nice as well. And they completely changed their side pod philosophy as well. They are a lot smaller than they were last year. They arguably had the most boxy side pods last year. They were very big and bulky. I didn't like how they looked that much. Their liveries were still great, so you don't really notice it that much. But it very much seems they're following the Red Bull philosophy.
Yeah, kind of sticking with that, I saw that Fred Vasseur said that Ferrari will not be using the same gearbox or chassis system that they used last year. And it's the chassis is the main thing that they want to be focusing on and upgrading. Which, if you look at pictures of it, you can kind of see already.
Yeah, it's quite obvious they've made a lot of changes.
Like you're saying, side pods. I know suspension's going to be different, as in a lot of these cars, but we'll get into that later. I think the Ferrari, like you said, it looks really good. I personally like how they are kind of going with a red and white instead of a red and black. It's just kind of switching it up a little bit, but still kind of keeping that red and black. And like you said, the yellow pinstripes.
Yep.
It really is designed well. But something about the Ferrari drop that everyone was talking about was when they posted it on Instagram.
Pit stop.
They posted on Instagram with like four other pictures of the car, and then they posted a pit stop. And everyone was quick to point out that they were slow on the front left tire. And after like 2 days of everyone talking about it online, Ferrari admin posts the correct one and admits fault, which on like a social media.
Ferrari came out and said that the admin was too caught up in the beauty of the pit stop to actually look at the tires being taken off the car and just forgot to post the correct one. I genuinely think they did it on purpose just to get people talking about it, which I think is a phenomenal and super funny move. I saw so many comments about people saying the admin, you know, like took a day off or fell asleep, which was super funny.
On like the most important day of the year for them.
But it's like Ferrari's already botched a pit stop before the season even started.
And even the proper one still looked like a 2 second pit stop, which is not
looking very world record to me.
2 seconds is kind of the goal of a pit stop. Anything below that is absolutely outstanding.
Absolutely.
Going over to McLaren for a little bit. After bringing on ex-Red Bull engineer chief Rob Marshall and former Ferrari aerodynamics specialist David Sanchez, they are hoping to continue the momentum of the end of last season and with the new car. So I feel like the McLaren has a lot more visible changes compared to some of these other cars that we talked about.
They have very big ambitions this year,
which is good to see after the success of the end of last season. I know the beginning of last year was an absolute misery for them because of the floor and side pod systems that they had. They changed it around Baku.
Yeah, they started working on it pretty early, and then you really started to see those changes at Silverstone and the Red Bull Ring, and then they just didn't look back. I think Andrea Stella and Zach Brown really want to take the fight to Red Bull this year. I don't think their main goal is finishing, you know, best of the rest, that being everybody is besides Red Bull. I genuinely think they want to come out of the door fighting Red Bull immediately. And I would not be surprised if McLaren show up in a couple days here and set lap times
really good
very
times.
Close to Red Bull. I would not be surprised at all.
I mean, going back to Ferrari for a second, you said off air that people are saying that this car is about to be 7/10 faster.
Yeah, I can't remember which Ferrari personnel said it, but they're like from their wind tunnel simulations and all that kind of stuff, that they're expecting this car to be almost a second faster than it was last year.
Which, if you're Red Bull or McLaren or Mercedes, not looking great, because the more competition, the more point spread. Which. Okay. There's a little construction happening outside.
There was actually a 2-magnitude earthquake outside. I apologize.
Continuing on with McLaren, some of the main things that are switching up is the side pod inlets. They are looking way boxier than last year. I said that they kind of mimic a jet style. If you look up like an F-35, you'll see like the boxy intakes.
Yep.
It looks a lot like that. But
yeah, and the inlet is, I don't know if you said it already. I zoned out for half a second. They're way bigger than they were last year too, the inlets themselves, which is different to almost any team that I've seen as well. So, didn't mean to interrupt you there, but I thought that was a pretty important point to mention.
No, you're all good.
So, I'd like to see how that difference between McLaren and all the other teams actually pans out for them.
Sticking with McLaren for a second, I just want to go back and forth, but we both know that Lando and Oscar are extremely talented, A, and B, very young. And
yes,
now that they're growing into the sport more and feeling more and more comfortable, which driver do you think they're going to focus more? Like, it makes sense to be Lando, but
it has to be.
I feel like go back to Las Vegas, where like they were kind of tied at the hip for a while,
mm-hmm.
and then Lando broke away and then crashed.
Yeah, it's also well.
Like,
you have to
do you think it is? Is it going to be like a scramble and golf situation where like you're going to have someone absolutely T-bomb it and then someone just 250 down the middle? Like, do you think they're going to have one of them probably more like Lando trying to fight for the lead, try to get more points, and then have Oscar kind of like mid-pack, like fifth, sixth?
This is definitely a very important question because you're totally right on the fact that this is an internal debate that they need to have if they do want to fight for the championship this year. I think you
have...
For the constructors, yeah. I think as a team, they might go race by race for the first few races. And then, you know, if it's looking like, okay, Lando's here challenging for the win every single race, let's give him preferential treatment. You know, what's more important to them, a driver's championship or a constructor's championship? That kind of thing.
I feel like right now, in this era with Max, it's like, and especially the domination of Red Bull in the last 5 years, I feel like you're mainly just wanting to get that constructor's championship.
I was going to say, I think it's very possible this year. One, with all the McLaren's improvements, and I mean, we'll see this in preseason testing later this week. But... Sergio Perez's bad form on top of that. I think it's very possible that a team aside from Red Bull can win the Constructors and Max will still win the Drivers' Championship. Now, not with a season like we had last season where Red Bull was so far ahead of everybody, but I think with the stuff that they've been saying about, you know, Red Bull's already done working on this year's car and they're moving on to the 2025 car already, I don't actually believe that so much in the sense that I don't think Red Bull will be as far ahead this year as they were last year. I actually think it'll be closer this year.
I mean, think about the beginning of last year. Like, Aston Martin was very close second in points within those first three or four races. So...
Oh, yeah.
I think, obviously...
correction. Fernando Alonso.
Yeah,
very close
sorry,
in points.
Sorry, Fernando Alonso. I gave too much credit to Lance Stroll. I'm so sorry. I feel like the car at the beginning of the year is obviously not the same as the car at the end. That's a pretty given statement. But the changes that they make are, I don't want to say pretty like dramatic or like...
drastic?
Yeah, but like... they improve the car a lot to the point where you don't need to improve the car at all anymore because you already are so advantageous.
Yeah. And I feel like that's why they're doing something this year where they want to move to that zero side pod design post Japan.
We'll get to that in a moment.
Once
we talk about them a little bit more. But I think McLaren, yeah, they definitely have something on their plate. I feel like... you said they're going to do a race-to-race basis. I think they're just going to let them drive for the first six races.
Yeah.
If they're both, let's say, 30, 50 points away from each other, I think you kind of keep that attitude of just supporting both and trying to fight for every point you can get. But I think if it's anything around 60 points or more, you are just going for constructors and... aiming for the team.
I think it's a very fair statement.
Let's go over to the Mercedes.
Go to the Mercedes. I like it.
Okay. That's it for Mercedes. No, I'm joking.
All right. I think it looks really good.
I think it's still indifferent about it. Like, I don't know how I feel about it yet. I feel the fade from silver to carbon fiber. It looks cool. Don't get me wrong.
It does.
It kind of feels like an Oreo. I don't know.
I really wish you could see my face right now, but.
All right. It's not, I don't know why I can't get behind it. It's not like any other like sports car or hypercar that has that fade in, or like not fade, but like gradient into carbon fiber. I think it looks cool.
I just think it looks aggressive.
It does, but I feel like in this era of carbon fiber, it's like pick which parts you want carbon fiber and which parts
that,
you want.
That take.
Like, I don't like the fade on the F1 car. Like, it just, the shape of it and everything doesn't really match for
me. So you like color blocking.
I do like color block. Like, and especially in the era of no paint on this grid.
Yeah.
I feel like the Mercedes front view looks fine. You can definitely tell it's the, like, reminiscent of the early, like, 2010s.
Yeah.
And kind of like the early McLaren, almost. Like,
your mid-2000s McLaren. Yeah. That silver is pretty nice. But then, I don't know. I think the side view is cool. I like that it fades off on the side pods. I think it looks really good on track from the videos that Mercedes have posted from Silverstone already. But I don't know. Maybe it's one that'll grow on you. I know a lot of people liked this one, though. Like, a lot of people said this was the best livery on the grid by a mile.
When it dropped and we first got our first reactions to it, and you said the stars, I will say that the stars do look nice on the back.
Yeah, I think they stick out more because they're silver on the car. Like, last year when the car was all black, I mean, the stars stuck out, but I think they coagulate more than they did last year. There was nothing for those to mesh with last year.
The juxtaposition is
better.
Thank
you. Yeah, that's a phenomenal word. Big word guy over here.
Taking a deep dive into the Mercedes, kind of seems like they tried to make a little bit of a joke that went over most people's heads. If you look at the renders of the car, the front suspension system has like two parts, like kind of like a pronged fork.
Yeah.
Which Williams has tried before in the early 2000s, but with varying levels of success. And obviously, I don't think this is something that's going to be on the final car. But
yeah, they like to hide as much as they can on the renders. And then you just have Mercedes come out and say, oh, we have dual suspension on the cars now.
It's kind of like what Alfa Romeo, now Stake F1, did with last year and posting a fake floor pick, which the underside of the car is called the floor, which is supposed to always be a very secretive part of the car. You don't want to let teams see the bottom of the car. We all know what happened when, I believe it was the Red Bull and the Mercedes.
Both, yeah, I mean, you got crashed. A lot of good views of the Red Bull floor last year with how many times Sergio Perez crashed, you know, them lifting the car off the track. You got a very nice view. So that definitely helped out the other teams. But yeah, you typically almost never see the floor.
Toto apparently said that this car is a complete relaunch and it is very different, which, I mean, it makes sense after you made a literal Bertram boat. But I could have made a joke about the Mercedes boat, but that's a little on the nose. So I don't like on the nose humor. That's too given. So I'm going to give you a company that you've never heard of.
Fairs.
One of the main big focuses on this car that both drivers were complaining about last year was the strength and kind of stability of the rear axle. You know, I remember George kind of whining about this after Singapore specifically. Like, that's ringing really true right now.
Oh, so the wall didn't turn in on him. It was actually the real axle. Mm-hmm. Okay.
No, that, I still remember that. That's one of those situations, like, where Ayrton Senna, I forget, it was some race director for a team, but it was one of those times where, like, he crashed barely against the wall and they had to, like, deduct a point or give him a time penalty or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been Niki Lauda too, but it's one of these very skilled drivers that know these tracks and can feel the car and the track. But apparently in the race beforehand, someone had hit a wall a little bit and it was sticking out maybe 3 or 4 or 5 centimeters. And
yep,
the precision that this driver had was within that margin, in that corner where he hit that wall.
Yeah.
And the moment he came into the pit lane, he told the guy and was like, no, the wall was sticking out. Like, I know that because I've done this corner 50 times. Or like the precision that these guys, like, they know these cars so well.
They also know the tracks so well with how much time you spend on the simulator.
Oh, God, yeah. That's their full-time jobs.
Exactly.
I feel like people don't remember that these guys are... When, like, Max has a racing sim on his jet.
Dude, that is one of the craziest things I've ever heard. And, like, I wish they would, like, he would, like, post a picture of it or something. Like, this guy will be doing iRacing on his private jet on the way to Zandvoort or something.
These guys are crazy. So, I'm glad that, A, they're listening to the drivers, which you're obviously going to do. There's a lot more nuances when, like, specific drivers' cars, because obviously these cars are not the same. Drivers all have their own styles and personalities. Like, there's that Alex Albon clip where he's explaining how Max likes his car, and he compares it to having a very high mouse sensitivity on, like, a computer,
mm-hmm.
where a little does a lot. And it's kind of jarring for some drivers, and it was jarring for him, and that was a huge reason that he left Red Bull.
Yeah, that Red Bull is just, it's so hard for people to work with.
Which, I feel like that's kind of why Max is getting that, like, I don't want to say teammate killer, but...
He's totally a teammate killer, dude. It's Max Verstappen.
I don't think he really is, though. I think it's more so of just, like... A, he is so determined to win, and B, I don't want to say like he's better, but
he's
statistically looking at the last 4 years, he is much better. Another earthquake happening.
Oh, that one was magnitude 3. That was insane.
We're moving up in the world, guys.
We're actually recording this episode in Thailand today.
That one was edgy. No. Mercedes also went with a new push rod system, which we'll talk more about the end, because a lot of these cars are all doing that. And this is one thing that both of us saw last night when we were doing some research, but the engine cover looks a lot more slick and much more reminiscent of like a normal sports car. If you look at the edges of like a SF240.
Yeah.
Like any of those Ferrari like sports cars where they... It has like an edge, but it's like a smooth one.
Mm-hmm.
I think it looks really good.
Yeah, the Mercedes engine cover last year was definitely like an outlier. It was huge. Like you could grab. Okay, let me take it in really quick. You could like grapple onto this with like a hook or something.
I am stupid.
Okay,
yeah, you're getting the I am stupid.
You could like. Grapple onto that thing with a hook and it would support all of your weight if you were hanging off the side of a cliff. Like that's how profound it was. But they've definitely shrunk it this year, and a lot of other teams have come in and taken that philosophy as well. Almost every single team has an engine cover that is you know, like jutting out of the car. Not as much as the Mercedes was last year, but it's definitely notable that there's something there. And it creates another, you know, spot for air to travel to, you know, like the top of the side pod and then the bottom side of this engine cover. Air will flow really nicely through there. So I see why the teams are doing it.
They absolutely scrapped the zero pod strategy that they tried to adapt last year. But moving on to Red Bull, we'll kind of start with this.
Somebody who's going to adapt it and slap Mercedes in the face.
No, he's not going to adapt it. He literally looked at that car and said, I can fix her.
Yeah, that's... Adrian Newey's a beast.
Dude, he's doing side quests at this point. Like, he really is.
Quests.
This man's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to take all these failed concepts on cars and make them work and do them better than you. And then we're going to win. But... To Max's credit, this car does look exactly the same. Not a, like, livery-wise. I'll say that, livery-wise.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
True.
It's not a bad livery.
It's not. And we'll get into this later, but I feel like do what Ferrari's doing. Like, don't change it, but switch it up a little. Like, just maybe, I don't want to say invert the color scheme because that would look a little weird, like red and yellow. Like, you can't really do that this year, especially. But
yeah,
maybe kind of what we were saying off air this morning was kind of go back towards the Toro Rosso, like early days, like the silver
bring
top.
A Red Bull can into the car. Put some chrome on there, lighten the blue a little bit, maybe get another sponsor like you had in the mid-2000s, like Infiniti, that just forced you to put some purple on the car. Like that era of Red Bull livery was so perfect. Like, I think the 2014 Red Bull might be the greatest Red Bull that they've ever had, looks-wise. Behind Turkey 2021 special white livery. That thing was beautiful.
Was that the special Japanese one, or was that?
Yeah, and then the Japanese GP got canceled, so they had to run it in Turkey.
The inlets of these side pods are pretty crazy. They are so much smaller than last year's, which seems like they're already kind of moving towards that zero pod approach. But I mean, that news has been kind of all over the air, so we'll get to that real quickly. But
yeah, they wanna...
after Japan, they're gonna try to fully, I would say, roll out that change and have a zero pod car for the rest of the year. Which
Japan is also one of the first races of the season this year, given they're moving towards that net zero carbon approach. They're trying to regionalize all the races of the year now. So Japan is going to come much earlier this year. We're not going to see Baku until the very end of the year this year. So, Red Bull wants to have no side pods on the car, reportedly 5 races into the season.
Which could be... It like
could
let's,
be great.
It could
for the
be
title
great
fight if Adrian Newey messes up. But
that's
Adrian
what I'm saying.
Newey
but
doesn't.
It's Adrian Newey. Like, he has such a low margin of error. So... in theory, this could be very, very good for other teams. In practice, it could absolutely destroy the other teams, like how the double diffuser did with Braun. So,
yeah,
it's going to be interesting. I'll let you take the power unit.
Yeah, so I was reading up on this a couple days ago. This was talked about. It actually has been being talked about for the past few seasons, but they finally went and did it. After a bit of deliberation, the power unit limit has been increased from 3 to 4, given, you know, the stark number of power unit-related penalties incurred last season and in seasons before. You know, we're having record-breaking amount of races every single season, and these engines are not built to last over a third of the season. And, you know, you typically see it at these very high-speed tracks like Monza. You'll see 10 drivers take a grid penalty. To take a new engine on because it's so easy to overtake on that race because you have so many long straights with DRS where you can overtake, but it gives teams a lot more leeway now and you can put more stress on the engine and fight harder because you have an entirely extra engine to fall back on.
Which is huge because, like you were saying, like, these engines don't last. Nothing about an F1 car is meant to last. So, and even inside these engines, there's way more components than really meet the eye. Like, specifically, the power units are what we're talking about. But then you have, you know, internal combustion units. You have
MGUKs, MGUHs, yeah. Your control electronics. Like, there's so many parts of these cars.
So even just getting one more of the power units, it's going to be huge for these cars, and it's going to not only make them quicker, but hopefully it will make a little bit more competition during these races. You know,
I did hear Ferrari talk on it.
Ferrari was a huge like push for this reason, I believe.
No, they weren't.
Was it Red Bull?
They literally said it's not going to change how we approach the season whatsoever. But damn. I think it's a really good change. Except for the fact that I really do love those races where you have half the grid taking a grid penalty. And it makes it so unexpected.
Just get like a Haas on podium or something.
Like that. It's just, it's one of those races where you go in knowing there can be a lot of craziness. It's one of the reasons I love Monza so much is the fact that, so many drivers take those grid penalties. So you get to see a lot of on-track action because you have top teams fighting from the middle or the back of the grid. Like a very notable one was in 2021 with Valtteri taking pole position for the race, but then falling all the way to the back for both the sprint and the main race. So he went from 20th all the way onto the podium in the sprint race, which was really, really cool. And, you know, maybe we will have less of that at Monza, but there's still always going to be engine penalties. You'll have engine failures. That I'm not
Yuki
worried
Tsunoda
about that.
Flashbacks to last year.
Yeah.
Didn't he have four? Four or three? Where
I mean,
like,
you had Singapore, you had Italy. Those are the two I can think of off the top of my head.
Was it Austria too?
I don't know. That kid had some really, really bad luck last year.
Yeah, I hope he gets some better luck because he is one of the fun younger drivers to watch. He's a bit
of a crazy guy too.
He moved from Japan to, was it like Birmingham? Like London?
I can't even remember.
It's one of those like cities that has a very unique dialect and like sound to the way they speak, but when he moved, all like the main things he picked up was just how to swear. So now he just swears a lot in English, which,
dude, honestly,
is pretty funny.
You'd think he's from San Francisco. And I'll let you get into that.
I don't even
one
know.
One of my favorite clips that I've been seeing circulating online.
I see what you did there.
Recently.
Okay. Before the Super Bowl, let's note that.
Before the Super Bowl, they were doing like one of those, you know.
I think it was the guys at Red Flag Pod, I want to say. They were interviewing the drivers and one of them just was asking Yuki about the Super Bowl, and it was like,
Who's your favorite NFL player?
And he said Christian McCaffrey in the best way possible. And then
McCaffrey?
Yeah, the next one was...
Who's your favorite quarterback?
And the same answer,
Christian McCaffrey.
And there was about three or four more questions where he just answered Christian McCaffrey. And I believe one of them was, who do you want to win the Super Bowl? And he just said Christian McCaffrey. So if you haven't seen that clip, go look it up because it is very funny.
Just look up Yuki Tsunoda, Christian McCaffrey. That's on my bingo card for 2024 now, the Christian McCaffrey Yuki Tsunoda collab. It's going to happen at some point.
AlphaTauri will make it happen. Especially
at Vegas.
Especially with you have Daniel being a huge supporter of American football. He's a huge Bills fan, so they'll make it happen. NFL likes kind of collaborating with other leagues and making them look better and, you know, all that jazz.
Yeah. Come back to this podcast when you see Yuki Tsunoda and Christian McCaffrey do a collab at one of these US races, dude. It's going to happen. I'm calling it now.
Could be Miami, honestly.
Yes. But
so, moving on, we have something that we kind of mentioned about some of the cars earlier is the new suspension system that a lot of these cars are switching to. From my research, it seems like about 6 of 10 of these cars may have done this. A lot of the Mercedes and I don't think Red Bull has really done it, but they might have.
And just not
they did. They did.
It, yeah.
They did. So essentially, the old system was a push suspension, which you have like a spring rod pushing the wheel away from the car just to hold it. A lot of these are being switched to pull systems, which just inverts that force and is pulling the wheel towards the car now. I personally think that this is going to be a lot better for contact. I feel like it makes more sense that the car can absorb the force being pushed into it. Rather than being a force pushing out and then making contact. So hopefully we won't see some suspension failures like we did with the Haas last year a few times. Happened to Charles once.
Happened to K-Mag once.
Yeah, that's Haas.
You said Charles.
I said Haas and then Charles.
Oh, I thought you said... Okay.
The Haas car Both of them had troubles with the suspension last year. So hopefully this will eliminate or at least...
You'll have a stronger suspension. Decrease the amount.
Yes. I just want to see less cars going straight into the wall at like 30 miles per hour because they can't turn.
Yeah.
Safety car. There was a leak on Instagram. I don't know how accurate this is, but if it is, it looks good.
They always have a way of making phenomenal Aston Martin and Mercedes safety cars, man.
Because the cars just look nice as it is, but then you slap on a racing livery on it, and it's just clean.
Actual chef's kiss. But yeah, I'm so excited to see that safety car going around the track.
All right. We're going to do a little segment here called Top 5 or Not 5.
Where we're Top 5 or Not 5.
We're just going to go through all of the car releases and rate them in our personal ways. But based off the little information that I have heard when we were going over these lists, it seems like our lists are eerily similar, so not too much debate going on. I feel like it's more so the ones that we do like compared to the ones that we don't like. But
now, I have to put a little caveat out there. I like a lot of them.
I like all of them.
And I despise a few of them.
I despise about three of them.
And I think there's things that we can change with a couple of them.
Facts.
But Raven, let's have you get the clear favorites out of the way for yourself.
For myself, my top three favorites in this order are Aston Martin, Ferrari, and Williams. Call me crazy. I think that Williams car looks so good. I love the battery. I love the Komatsu sponsor that they have.
Call me even crazier because my top three from 1 to 3 are the Ferrari, the Aston Martin, and you guessed it, the Williams. That Williams looks so good. They have been evolving on that livery ever since they switched to the 2022 regs, and it's something they've just kept building on. It's gotten more and more advanced every single year, and it is so beautiful this year, and I think it's going to look so good on track. I like all the cutting through the livery with these nice lines, all those different shades of blue. I think it's just perfect.
Making a last-second change to my list, actually.
Change it up. I need to get into the ones that I really, really don't like.
I was going to say, do you want to get into our middle four, and then we'll get into our last three?
I think middle four is important. Take it away.
For my middle four, in this order, I have McLaren, Visa Cash App Racing Bulls,
VCAP,
Red Bull, and rounding out my middle pack, the Mercedes. I gave you my input earlier on the Mercedes. That is why it is so low.
Well, well, well. From 4 to 7, I will go with the Mercedes as my number four livery. That's the biggest one you and I disagree on. I just think the fade is so beautiful. You've gotta put the McLaren, I'd say, at number five, the V-Carb at six. The V-Carb and McLaren are pretty much interchangeable for me, and the Red Bull at seven. Now, don't take that the wrong way. The Red Bull looks good, like I said before. You gotta change it up every once in a while.
I like things when they look new. I don't want to say it's lazy or anything like that, because I understand
it's iconic.
It's iconic, but there's also somewhat of a heritage to it now. You know, you've won 5 constructors championships, 5 drivers.
You have won
a lot.
7 drivers championships, 6 constructors championships.
Thank you, Mr. Stat Guy.
No problem.
And rounding out the bottom of the list, we have the Haas, the Alpine, and the Steak F1.
Yep, and mine fall in the exact same order. Haas, don't think it's bad. I think it looks good, but there's just way too much carbon. Alpine, utter garbage. You could not have done any worse.
I mean, I don't understand why you drop a teaser of your livery and then
don't follow through.
Yeah, don't ever talk about it again.
Don't go on a date with the Alpine. You're getting ghosted. But no, it's, see, here's the difference. With the Haas, black is a core color of their team. With Alpine, it's not. And it really shows. I've never seen like that much black in anything Alpine before. So it just looks wrong. And then when you get to steak, it's, come on, man. Like that thing is just a piece of garbage. It looks so bad. And everybody in the F1 world seems to love it. I am not everybody in the F1 world. I'm Oliver, and I'm a real one. I hate it. It's so bad. And that concludes top five or not five.
Yeah, that concludes that. That will go back to that segment until next year. So,
nope, we're going to do it next week after preseason testing. Top five or not five?
Every week now, forever. No. Something about, we'll just kind of talk about the safety features of these cars because I don't think we've really ever gotten into that. And most people listening don't really know all the things about it. And like I was saying, I was showing my roommate and Tassos, host of Good Morning Hockey and owner of the company. Shout out Tassos. I was showing him some of the like worst crashes in F1 history, and we were just getting into like a lot of the safety features. And one of the big ones is obviously the halo, which, correct me if I'm wrong, was introduced in
2018.
18. Okay, I was a little early there, but that is the ringed top around the driver that has a small thin prong in the middle, and a lot of people immediately see this and go, doesn't that obstruct the driver's view?
And with how your eyes work.
In the way, it's the same way that like when you see, you don't see your nose because your eyes just kind of have that blind spot. It is built specifically to be in that blind spot where the drivers can see without really any blockage or whatever the word is. I can't think of it off the top of my head.
And I can't remember exactly how much force it can...
I mean, we've seen these cars roll over and slide on the halo, so they can withstand the force of the car.
I was going to say, it is the strongest part of the car. It's something like 100 tons of force or something that halo can take.
And I believe it has already saved countless 5 to 10 drivers. Roman Grosjean,
2020 Bahrain. Guan Yu Zhou, 2022 at Silverstone. You have Marcus Ericsson, 2018 at Monza. Charles Leclerc, 2018 at Spa.
It's
like
crazy.
There's so many notable instances where, like, it's so weird. You got so many bad crashes the second it came in that would have killed a couple of these drivers. Yeah.
Most of these drivers, yes. And if you kind of go back and just, if you browse through Wikipedia and F1 and go through the amount of drivers that raced in the 50s and 60s, you'll see teams that have had 7 drivers because drivers were dying every 2 or 3 races. The safety of this sport has dramatically increased. Like, the next point we'll go to is the better helmets, the thermal protection that these helmets have. I mean, it's not a unheard of story with Niki Lauda and what happened in the Nürburgring in
the 70s. Yeah,
yeah. And we've all seen the pictures of that crash. We've all seen the results, all the burns that he suffered on his body and how he looked when he was older. And God bless that he came back 6 weeks later and could still race and be one of the best. But
yeah, to come back after that crash and win a championship is unbelievable.
It's shocking. But, I mean, look at Roman Grosjean. That's one of the main kind of comparable results. I mean, he had a very, very bad crash, was in the car for, I believe, 10 seconds, 10, 15 seconds.
About 20, yeah.
I mean, if you look at him afterwards, the only burns he really had were on his hands.
And his
complete helmet was, like, I would say melted a little bit, but like completely protected his face and everything. Which
he's had his skin graft already and
pretty much
his hands back to normal. Yeah. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
The crash beams on these cars, which are visible, they're about 6 inches in front of the driver. They stick out just a little bit. They're just another one of those impact points to absorb force and protect the shape of the car for the drivers. The last one that we'll go to is the 6 point of contact on the body. The harnesses are not only just strapping over the shoulders, but they have multiple points of contact around the driver's body to keep their back straight in high impact crashes.
And they also have a quick release system in case you have a crash like Romain Grosjean did.
And those harnesses have reduced the number of skull fractures and pretty much impact deaths.
Yeah, they also have a the contraption on their neck as well that connects to the helmet, which is super important.
I mean, essentially that's why Ayrton Senna died. So that force was too bad and he fractured his
skull. He also went straight into a concrete wall
and
which is
on fire, which it's sad. It is. But moving on to a little bit of a better note. Preseason testing starts this week, Wednesday the 21st, out in Bahrain between 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. time.
At the track.
Can I get that in Midwestern Central Time, please?
Most definitely I can do that for you. 1 a.m. to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. We're going to be pulling some all-nighters over here in Chicago.
We are not sleeping. I will get home from class and then immediately be staying up all night. So that'll be fun. I'm excited.
Get your DVRs ready because it's time to record this.
Rev up those fryers.
Rev up the Bugatti. Way.
So, like I said at the beginning, rally concluded this week at Sweden. Shout out to Escapica Lapa. That was absolutely butchered, but we tried to search up your name and do the best we could because absolutely killed it. Won for the first time since 2017. Kind of securing his, I don't want to say title back, but showing that he is still a competitor in these races. And shout out to Oliver Solberg and the Skoda team for winning the WRC 2 class and coming fifth overall.
Yeah, that race, we were watching so many highlights of it yesterday. I feel like Sweden, to me, as a very casual watcher, is like the epitome of rallying.
Sweden and Finland are two of the best rally tracks, in my opinion.
Yeah, I was going to say, the Finland has the highest percentage of drivers in rally as well. You notice this a lot when you watch European motorsports, actually, how many Finnish drivers are in discretion of motorsport.
Think of great Finnish drivers in F1. You have
Keke Rosberg, you have Valtteri Bottas, you have Kimi Raikkonen. Like, there's
Mika
so many.
Raikkonen, right?
Mika Häkkinen as well.
Mika Häkkinen. Like, so many greats coming out of Finland. And I don't know. I guess it's just kind of,
it's part of their culture.
Yeah, I guess it's just like one of those things that's just so ingrained. Kind of like how NASCAR is here. And speaking of NASCAR, Daytona got rained out this weekend, so that will be probably happening during the next show's recording.
I was going to say
today,
it'll be out. It'll be starting. The green flag will be flying a couple hours after today's show is out. So 4 p.m. Eastern Standard.
We'll mention the winner because, you know, we're not huge NASCAR guys over here, but racing is racing, and the Daytona 500 has a lot of history. So it is
besides the Indianapolis 500, it's the biggest motor racing event in the United States.
And a lot of people don't like oval racing just because it is short and the same thing. But A, it is still a discipline of racing, and B, it is an insane track. So
if you don't like oval racing, watch the 24 hours of Daytona, which always happens in January, where they use that inner portion of the circuit with those
little bank turns.
Those little bank turns. It's gorgeous.
Going to give a quick shout out to the race on YouTube. Check them out. They have a lot of great videos on car breakdowns and just rules and anything and everything on F1 racing.
I've been watching them for years.
They are absolutely great and make researching our job a little bit easier. So just want to give them a shout out. Hopefully we can maybe get one of their writers on or something to do a little interview. So That would be, I think that's it for us today, honestly.
Absolutely.
Anything else? Any big news with you?
Not particularly. I'm just counting down the hours now. We got like 36 hours left until preseason testing. Yesterday was officially the last Sunday without F1. Get excited for preseason testing. Get excited for Bahrain. It's happening
Saturday, March 2nd, 9 a.m. And, oh, this is actually kind of big. It will be available on ESPN.
Oh, yes.
So for all the people that aren't subscribed to F1 TV or any of those other subscriptions, I know what Sky Sports has kind of the European market.
Press your red button to see all the highlights. You'll hear that 5 times from David Croft on the broadcast this Wednesday.
I'm so excited to hear his voice again.
If you've missed any
and
of the
Christina
action.
Aguilera faking an interest in F1.
Christina Aguilera. That is the worst checkered flag wave I have ever seen from Tim Cook.
Well, that will wrap it up for us this week on the Gravel.
You can just say on the gravel. That'll wrap it up this week on the gravel.
Bye, everyone.
Have a great Monday, you guys.